Obstacles to encountering the God within. Would you pray with me first? Oh God, we're so used to looking around to make sure that we're safe, to make sure that our children are in sight, our grandchildren. Maybe to notice the beauty of the trees, the flowers, the small creatures that live in the environment around us. Sometimes we don't think to look within, to see who dwells within us. We pray this morning for one another that we would hear and remember the words of Scripture, as Joshua reminded us that this is such a familiar one. But not only remember, O Lord, we pray that these words take root and grow in us so that we will know that the way into eternal life is through you who dwell within us as well as around us. Guide me so that I may preach faithfully to these words, and guide all of us so that we hear you speaking to us in ways that we can appreciate and apply. Amen. Well, by now I think it's probably an overused word. We were discussing this in the back of the church this morning, the three of us, about how the English language is always changing, and what used to be cool is now awesome, and I don't know what comes after awesome. But there are not many times, whatever the right word is, in most of our lives when we can say that we have had a truly awesome experience. I had one when I was 19. I had set out simply to walk to the top of a mountain, a small mountain, a few miles from where I lived in Massachusetts. The weather was fine, a little gray, but fine at the bottom of the mountain. And when I got to the top, there was a thundering, lightning rainstorm at the top of the mountain, and I was right in the middle of it. I stood there mesmerized by the flashes all around me, so much light, so much energy, so much power, and it was so close. I mean, like where you are. It was years before I realized I could have been killed as I stood there like a human lightning rod. So needless to say, I didn't get how near God was to me at that point. And I hadn't read the Bible yet either. I was 19. So I didn't know that the ancient Israelites believed that God appeared on mountains. I hadn't read of God speaking through a burning bush to Moses at Mount Horeb in Exodus 3, or I hadn't read about Elijah at Mount Horeb in 1 Kings 19, or how God appeared to Isaiah as he worshiped in the temple, as it's described in Isaiah 6. I didn't know that God appeared to people in any way other than the life of Jesus, because that's all I had heard in church. Today's reading from John 14 helps us to see that there are obstacles to experiencing God within us. Some of them I encountered because I hadn't read the Bible. So when we hear that verse, that section, if we follow verse by verse, we probably like verse 2, where Jesus assured the disciples that in my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? Joshua already stole my line. I have to admit that I have based quite a number of funeral sermons on this text, and given the opportunity, I would do it again. However, there's a dark side to this reading. After Jesus reassured his disciples that he would go and prepare a place for them, he told them that they knew the way to the place he was going. So they're thinking geography, and they're baffled. So Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way?" So that's an obstacle too, that we face as we seek to encounter the God within us. We may never have heard in a way that we can allow into us the truth that the way to God is through Jesus. Or maybe we heard it, but we don't believe it. Or maybe we're like Thomas, and we don't realize that Jesus wasn't referring to a geographical location. Jesus was talking about the inner spiritual path to God. He confronted Thomas by saying, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Now, volumes have been written about the apparent exclusivity of that verse. I will simply share my belief that God chose to work through Jesus to show the way to some and to open the door for all into God's presence. So what else makes it difficult to experience God within ourselves? The short answer is that, well, most of us expect our spiritual journeys to be quite simple. We want clear instructions about what we can and what we cannot do. That's okay for young children, but I think most of us here right this minute are long past our childhoods. Our older son, Jim, pointed me to a theologian named Richard Rohr who addresses this problem in his book, Everything Belongs. Rohr writes, "Religion has not tended to create seekers or searchers, has not tended to create honest, humble people who trust that God is always beyond them. We aren't focused on the great mystery. Religion has rather tended to create people who think they have God in their back pockets, people with quick, easy, glib answers." And he continues to say, "That's why so much of the West is understandably abandoning religion. People know the great mystery cannot be that simple. If the great mystery is indeed the great mystery, it will lead us into paradox, into darkness, into journeys that never cease." End of quote. Rohr reminds us that our spiritual journey continues. There's no such thing as claiming that we have kept all of the commandments, that we have tithed all we need to tithe, and that we have worshiped faithfully and thereby completed our spiritual journeys. There is far, far more to being a Christian. Our mistake in many parts of the church, and I think we do it here in Campbell United Methodist, is to imply, or even to claim, that, well, you know, God is a nice person, so our task is to be nice people too. So, just in case that isn't clear, let me share a quotation from another 20th century writer on spiritual growth, Carlo Coretto. In his book, Why, O Lord, he wrote, "That God exists is no secret. It's clear to see. That God is good is no secret. It's the experience of every ready heart. That God is immense is no secret. All you have to do is look at the universe. That God is near is no secret. You only need to look at a couple on their honeymoon, or two friends talking, or an expectant mother. But then where is the secret? Well, here it is. God is a crucified God. God is the God who allows God's self to be defeated. God is the God who has revealed himself in the poor. God is the God who has washed my feet. God is Jesus of Nazareth. And we are not accustomed to a God like this. So, what's the problem with a crucified God? Well, a crucified God in our modern world is embarrassing. Yes, Jesus is embarrassing. How do we ever expect non-believers here in Silicon Valley to believe in a God who was defeated, even if it was temporarily? And worse yet, Jesus didn't even put up a fight. We live in the midst of people who are used to winning. They control moderate to unbelievable amounts of wealth and other forms of power. As we saw recently in the battle between Apple and Samsung, neither side backs down. Eventually, it's all about personal and corporate power, and they get in the way. So it's a little hard to imagine Jesus serving as a corporate attorney in a patent litigation where winning is all that matters. It's a little hard to imagine Jesus serving as a director on the board of a company that seeks to crush its opposition. It's even hard to imagine Jesus belonging to a denomination like ours, but like several others that I've been in, where power is sought by many of us pastors as we seek to climb the ladder to the district superintendency and then hopefully one day to be a bishop, and where churches are closed because they no longer produce enough income to pay the apportionments and a full-time salary. So what are we to do? How are we to experience the God within us when there are so many obstacles? Well, I dare say most of us are used to the image of putting an oar in the water. So if we could imagine all of us together at the same time putting our oars in the water and pulling together, we might get somewhere. A church, sometimes symbolized as a ship, could get where it needed to be to spread both the word about and the reality of God's kingdom here on earth, but in here as well. So let me take the word OR one step further and let it be an acronym, a word in which each letter stands for another word. O stands for openness. We are empowered by God to be open to the presence of God, not just out in nature and not just in here in this congregational gathering, but in here in our hearts. Openness. A stands for awareness. We need to be aware that there are many obstacles to experiencing God within us. Otherwise, we will never know that they're there and never overcome them. And R stands for response. Openness, awareness, response. Once God's grace makes it possible to be open to the God within us and aware of the obstacles to our spiritual growth, the question becomes, how do we respond to God? There are many ways, and frankly, they're the subject of many other sermons. However, I'll share one way, very simple, and it's an old one. One way is to decide each day that we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, and that we choose with God's grace to serve God today the best that we can. Years ago, it was customary to invite those who had newly accepted Christ and those who wanted to reaffirm their acceptance of Jesus to come forward to the altar. Now, I know that we're not prepared for that today. But most of us are prepared to come forward to receive Holy Communion. So I invite you to consider, as we come forward to receive the bread and the juice, to also receive the grace that will allow us to open our hearts, be aware, and respond to the living presence of Christ our Savior in us as a church, in us as a world, but most specifically in us as individual members of Christ's body, the church. And I'll be available after the service if anybody wants to share what that experience was like for them. Would you pray with me? Oh God, we do ask with a certain amount of trepidation that we be open to you, that we be aware of the obstacles to encountering you and following you, and that we have the grace to respond lovingly to you within us and you working through us. For all of that and so much more, we give you thanks. Amen.